The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking on a giant, well, the philosopher who has probably earned the most terrifying reputation in intellectual history, G.W.F. Hegel.
It's true. Hegel is often described as this philosophical black hole. He's dense, complex, and his writing can feel like it's deliberately designed to confuse you.
Right.
But our mission today is not to get lost in all that jargon. It's to map the core engine of his thought, which has just fundamentally shaped political and social theory for, what, two centuries now.
And we're using Peter Singer's Hegel, a very short introduction as our, let's call it our GPS. And this is essential because whether you realize it or not, Hegel's concepts, I mean, his dialectic, his view of history, freedom, all of it laid the foundation for Karl Marx. It's baked into the DNA of so much modern political talk and even how we think about self-identity.
Absolutely. So if you're curious about why history seems to move the way it does, or, you know, why conflict seems to drive progress, or what true freedom actually means in a modern state, you have to engage with Hegel.
And we're offering you that shortcut today.
So let's begin with the guide himself. The choice is a little surprising, isn't it?
It is. We have Peter Singer, an Australian moral philosopher. He's world famous for his work on utilitarianism and his book Animal Liberation. He's all about clarity and ethical precision.
Right. He's a leading public intellectual known for that very clear Anglo-American analytical style. And that's exactly why his take on Hegel is so illuminating. He's stepping way out of his usual field.
Way out.
To tackle the most abstract continental philosopher. And he does it with, like, a surgeon's clarity.
I find that dynamic fascinating. Why would someone so committed to practical, clear-cut arguments spend his energy making sense of the absolute master of abstraction?
Well, I think Singer approaches Hegel not as a disciple, you know, not as a true believer, but as an analyst. He's focused on what matters, the practical consequences.
The real-world impact.
Exactly. He's interested in how Hegel's philosophy of history and freedom influenced the real world specifically. How it birthed Marxism and, you know, later theories of social justice. By removing all that metaphysical fog, Singer lets us focus on the structure of the system that actually had an effect.
So it's like a practical excavation of a metaphysical system.
Yeah.
It ensures we grasp the structure before we get totally lost in the poetic language.
Precisely. And Singer presents this book as a true guidebook for anyone who has picked up, say, the Phenomenology of Spirit and then immediately put it back down.
I think that's most of us.
Right. So Singer's central focus is on Hegel's grand project, which was really a search for the ultimate unified theory of everything.
Of everything. That is ambitious.
It is. Hegel believed that all of reality, nature, history, art, consciousness, it's all interconnected. It's all part of a single dynamic, rational process.
And this process is what Hegel called spirit, or Geist in German.
Geist, yeah. It's this idea of a universal consciousness. And the entire history of the world is just Geist progressively coming to understand itself more fully. It's moving toward absolute knowledge and ultimately freedom.
So the core idea here is that reality isn't just static stuff.
No, not at all. It's a dynamic, rational, and purposeful process. It means history has a telos, a goal. And the key to understanding this movement is the tool Hegel uses to describe it. The dialectic.
The dialectic. Okay, this is often oversimplified as thesis, antithesis, synthesis, which we know isn't quite right. So how does Singer help us understand it more accurately?
Well, he really emphasizes that the dialectic is a progression through contradiction. You start it with an initial idea or a state of affairs, let's call it the thesis, but it's fundamentally one-sided. It's incomplete.
Okay.
And its incompleteness sort of demands the rise of its opposite, the antithesis. The conflict that results isn't a breakdown. It's the necessary friction that drives things to a higher, more comprehensive stage.
And crucially, that higher stage, the synthesis, it doesn't just destroy the previous two. It transforms them and preserves their essential truths. This is that key, very complex concept, Aufhebung.
Yes, Aufhebung. And there's no single English word for it, but it means all at once to cancel, to preserve, and to transcend or lift up.
So when the synthesis emerges, it cancels out the limitations of the first two ideas, but it keeps their positive content and it lifts the whole thing up to a higher level of truth.
Exactly. So it's not just a compromise. It's a necessary evolution. And it's driven by the internal flaws of whatever you started with. It makes the whole system dynamic.
Let's ground this a bit. Hegel was living in a really turbulent time. He was grappling with a world being totally remade by the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars.
Absolutely. He was trying to reconcile the promise of human rationality and freedom, which the revolution championed, with its terrible outcome, the terror. He saw what happens when reason is unleashed but isn't moored to institutions. It just becomes chaos.
Which brings us to Napoleon Bonaparte. Hegel sees Napoleon riding through the city of Jena and calls him the world soul on horseback. That has always stood out to me as one of philosophy's greatest soundbites.
It's incredible, and it perfectly illustrates this concept of the cunning of reason.
The list of vernumifty.
That's the one. Hegel saw that Napoleon, who is motivated purely by his own personal ambition, you know, glory, conquest, just individual passion, was still an unwitting tool of historical progress.
So Napoleon's selfish actions inadvertently served the larger rational purpose of Geist. It was sweeping away the old feudal systems, spreading rational legal codes, and basically forcing Europe to modernize.
That's the cunning. Individual actors are just pursuing their own immediate interest. But the collective result of all those actions is what drives history toward freedom. It shows that progress doesn't require everyone to be saints.
It just requires them to be human.
Right. Acting with passion and thereby generating the conflicts that the dialectic needs to move forward.
Okay, now for probably the most famous part of all this, the master-slave dialectic. This is where self-consciousness is born, and it's just such an influential parable.
It really is. It's the moment two self-consciousnesses meet, and they realize they need recognition. True self-awareness only comes when another self-aware being validates you.
And this forces a life and death struggle.
It does. One person fears death and submits, becoming the slave. The other, willing to risk everything, becomes the master. And on the surface, it looks like the master has won everything. Ultimate freedom, total recognition.
But then comes the twist, the dialectical reversal.
Exactly. The master's recognition is only coming from a person he sees as less than himself, a subservient being. So the recognition is actually empty. It's worthless. His consciousness just stays static.
Meanwhile, the slave, who is forced to labor, starts to transform the natural world. He takes raw material and impresses his own ideas, his will, his purpose onto it.
And in doing that, he sees his own reflection. His own consciousness is now externalized. It's made permanent in the things he creates. Through this discipline of work, the slave achieves a profound, concrete self-awareness. A genuine independence that the master, who is just sitting there consuming, can never attain. It's a radical idea that genuine self-worth is found not through domination, but through creative labor.
That dynamic is so counterintuitive to how we typically think about power. And you can see right there how later thinkers, like Marx, saw the working class as the agent of real historical change.
And if we move from that individual relationship to the collective, we arrive at the culmination of the whole process. The state. This is where Hegel gets the most criticism, with people like Karl Popper accusing him of basically glorifying totalitarianism.
But Singer challenges that reading. He makes a crucial distinction between abstract freedom and what Hegel calls concrete freedom. What's the difference?
Well, abstract freedom is kind of the childish definition, just the ability to do whatever you want, free from rules or society. Hegel says that's empty.
Okay.
Concrete freedom is different. It's freedom that's realized through rational self-determination within an ethical community.
So you are only truly free when you willingly align your individual will with the universal ethical principles of a rational society. The laws aren't just external constraints anymore.
They're the external expression of your own higher rational self.
Hmm.
Hegel outlines three spheres of this ethical life.
Hmm.
The family, which is based on altruism. Civil society, which is the marketplace, based on egoism.
And then the state.
And then the state. The state is the highest sphere, the ethical community that overcomes the contradictions of the other two and allows for the full realization of rational freedom. It's the place where Geist becomes most fully organized and self-aware.
Okay, so if the state is this ethical whole, what does all of this abstract thinking really mean for our actual lives? Like, distill the core themes Singer leaves us with.
Okay, theme one. Reality is a unified, rational process. This is a radical, almost spiritual idea that the universe isn't just random stuff. It's a dynamic, knowable structure. And we, as conscious beings, are basically the universe trying to figure itself out.
Theme two, contradiction is the engine of progress. The dialectic teaches us that conflict isn't a failure. It's actually a necessity. I mean, think about any major advancement in science. In politics, it rarely comes from total agreement.
Right.
It comes from that tension between an existing model and some competing opposing idea, which leads to an Aufhebung, a better solution.
Then there's theme three. Freedom is found within community, not isolation. This is a huge challenge to modern individualism. True freedom, for Hegel, isn't escaping rules. It's actively participating in a rational, just community where the rules actually enable flourishing.
So institutions can actually make us free.
Exactly. And finally, theme four. History has a purpose. Despite all the suffering and chaos, Hegel offers this, well, this profound, optimistic narrative. History is moving toward the full, universal realization of human freedom.
Even through self-interested actions, through that cunning of reason.
Even then, the whole system moves the needle forward.
The book is dense, of course, but Singer does a great job of highlighting these moments of really memorable, even provocative clarity that just capture Hegel's vision.
He does. Let's start with maybe the most famous line, which is so often quoted out of context.
The real is rational and the rational is real.
Right. And this does not mean, as critics often charge, that whatever currently exists is justified or perfect. It means that reality has a deep logical structure that our minds can access, and that what is truly rational must eventually manifest itself in the world.
Okay, and what about the quote that captures the entire ambition of his philosophy of history?
That would be, "The history of the world is none other than the progress of the consciousness of freedom."
So history isn't arbitrary. It's a purposeful, necessary story, a very difficult, gradual journey of humanity realizing what universal freedom is and then building it into society.
Exactly. And one more, the punchline from the master-slave dialectic.
My favorite part.
True independence is not won by dominating another, but through the discipline of labor and the transformation of the world. That paradox is just so powerful. Domination leads to emptiness, but creative, disciplined work, even under duress, builds genuine self-worth. It gives dignity to the act of creation itself.
So how do we actually use this monumental philosophy in our own lives? Singer's take gives us, I think, a few clear paths.
Yeah, I'd say application one is embrace dialectical thinking for problem solving. So next time you're in a real disagreement, in a relationship, a boardroom, wherever, don't just compromise by splitting the difference.
Find the Aufhebung.
Yes. Look for the underlying truth in both opposing positions. Use that tension to find a higher, synthesizing solution that makes both of the old ideas kind of obsolete but better.
Application two, understanding social change. When you watch a major social movement, you can see it through this Hegelian lens. These movements are often historical expressions of a contradiction, a society claiming high ideals, the thesis, while practicing deep injustice, the antithesis.
And the struggle you see on the news is history's necessary move toward a higher, more ethical synthesis.
And finally, application three, reaffirming the dignity of work. That master-slave dynamic is such a powerful reminder that meaningful labor, where you're actually shaping your environment and leaving your mark, is fundamental to your sense of self-worth.
It really encourages you to prioritize work that involves creation and tangible results, not just work that's purely abstract or focused only on consumption.
You know, what surprised me most in this deep dive guided by Singer was how practical Hegel suddenly becomes. It's amazing. Singer successfully strips away the obscurity and leaves us with this dynamic toolkit for analyzing history, politics, and even our own consciousness.
For me, the lasting insight is that concept of Aufhebung, the idea that contradiction and struggle are the very engine of progress, and that true progress requires both canceling and preserving what came before. You walk away with this powerful understanding that beneath all the chaos of current events, there are these underlying rational patterns at work.
And that to really get a handle on the modern world, you have to first grapple with the mind that shaped its philosophical blueprint.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by eCotra Foundation.